Earlier this week, CBC Ottawa had posted an interesting article online, and the heading was this. It said, "Words and phrases you might want to think twice about using." And then it went on to list all kinds of words and phrases that were that are considered offensive today, which might not have been in the past, words and phrases that you want to avoid so that you don't offend anyone. And indeed, we should be very careful, not only on what we say, but how we say it. We should be considerate of others, as that is a Christian virtue. Our words, our attitudes as well, should always build others up, not tear them down. According to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, we should speak only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit those who listen. Usually when we speak to somebody, we're trying to put ourselves ahead in whatever way. But according to Scripture, we should be speaking what is actually beneficial and helpful and building up the person who is listening. And you know what? More than ever, we really, really, really need to remember that verse. I need to tape that and put it across my mouth or across my fingers on my fridge, on my computer screen, and maybe you do too, I don't know. We need to be considerate of others. And Jesus, of course, was a great example of this. He used his words to build people up again and again. He offered grace. He spoke of forgiveness. He brought hope and healing. He spent time with outcasts. His words were very helpful. But at the same time, strangely enough, as kind as Jesus was and is, there were many things that Jesus said which were actually rather offensive. In fact, some of the things that Jesus said and did were so offensive that some people actually stopped following him. And others wanted to kill him. Even throw him off a cliff if they could. They tried. And so this morning, I feel we need to focus on this strange message, on the offensiveness of the gospel. And I admit it's an unusual message, especially for the second Sunday of Advent. Come on, Norman. We're supposed to focus on peace and good tidings and joy and all kinds of good things. And Jesus came. He's the Prince of Peace. And what are you talking about? And bringing up these things that much of what Jesus said was offensive. And we need to make a clear distinction here. Because while we are not to be offensive, whether we like it or not, the message of the gospel is in fact offensive. It simply is. The message of the gospel of Christ will offend. It will hurt. It will sting. It will not always be pleasant. I'd like for us to turn in our Bible to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, which has a really interesting way of putting this. Hebrews 4, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the hearts and attitudes, it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Again, this is the word of God that we're talking about, not my thoughts or my words, but the word of God itself, which is sharper than a double-edged sword. And of course, a double-edged sword is a tool. It's described as a tool. It's going to be offensive. Maybe you can think of it this way, if it will help. Perhaps you can think of God's word as a surgeon's scalpel. It's not a pleasant experience to go into surgery. I don't think anybody actually ever looks forward to it. Yay! But when something is wrong within us, it needs to be done, doesn't it? It needed to be done before something could be corrected. When I broke my wrist, it was not very pleasant. It was actually rather unhappy. And they had to cut my wrist. They had to dig in there and do some work. And only after that did things get better. And I believe what Scripture is telling us is that God's word is like that. God's word is not there to tickle our ears and make us feel good about ourselves and give each other a pat on the back as we leave church and, yeah, way to go, you done it. God's word is here like a surgeon's scalpel, perhaps, to transform us, to transform our lives, to root out that which is deadly and place within us that which is life. Or to put it in the terms of Christmas, to move us from darkness to light. And that's what Christmas is about, isn't it? Jesus came as a light of the world. And we know how that ended for him. It ended with the crowds calling for his execution. Why? Because Jesus' message was hard to take. It was offensive. He wasn't offensive. He was kind. He was loving. He was gracious. But the message he brought hurt. People didn't like it. Some didn't like it. And they tried to do away with him. He said things that people didn't want to hear. Things like, I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. Well, that didn't impress the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Raised a pretty high standard for everyone else as well. People didn't like that. Or how about when Jesus said, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. That's pretty serious stuff there. A lot of people would have been offended at that. What about all the things I'm doing? What about how hard I'm trying? What about the things I've given up? What about? And Jesus says, hey, if you're going to look back, don't even bother. Wow. That's pretty tough. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 29. Jesus says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. And we hear that and we say, yeah, that's Jesus, all right. That's not so offensive. That sounds good. And it is, until we're the ones who've been cursed or mistreated or slapped or offended, and we need to love a person anyway. Then it becomes hard. And it becomes a challenge. In theory, it's great. We love it. Yes, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Bless those who curse you. Wonderful stuff. But when it becomes reality, when we've been cursed or persecuted or offended or whatever else slapped, all of a sudden, it's a challenge. And when Jesus talked about himself as being the bread of life, calling on the people to give him their absolute loyalty, on hearing it, John chapter 6, verse 60 says, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Many of the disciples said, Jesus, this is too much. Hard teaching. The word there, hard teaching, skeleros, actually means offensive, intolerable, unacceptable. They're saying, Jesus, this is too much. Who can accept it? And there were many who turned away from him at that point. Yeah. The message of the gospel is offensive. It offends our sinful human nature. That's why it's so hard to take. The message of the gospel says that there's something wrong with us. And who wants to hear that? We want to be told we're all right. If somebody says something is wrong with what we're doing or what we're saying or what we're thinking or whatever else, we don't like that. In fact, the whole idea of Christmas is offensive to many people, and there are people who turn away from the real meaning of Christmas, because the real meaning of Christmas is that a Savior has been born. A Savior? What do I need a Savior for? Are you saying there's something wrong with me? That's the attitude. There is. You see, the message of the gospel, a Savior has been born, is in itself offensive. What do you mean I need a Savior? But we do. The message of the gospel reminds us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one is righteous, not even one. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And so the message of the gospel points out that there is something terribly wrong deep within us, that we can't fix ourselves. It's not just a mistake that we've made. It's not just that we were human or we made an error. It is sin. It is this reality of sin. And the message of the gospel that calls out sin is hard to listen to. But unless we come to the place where we understand the ugliness of this thing called sin in our own lives, I'm not talking about anybody else. We need to look within ourselves here, folks. This message isn't about pointing fingers at somebody else and saying, oh, look at what they're at. But unless we come to understand the ugliness of sin within our own lives, how can we possibly come to a place of restoration and forgiveness? We can't. But sin doesn't want to let go. And so we are offended. And again, I realize this is a very strange message for the second Sunday of Advent. The focus is supposed to be on peace, and all I'm doing is stirring things up. But the truth is, this is a message of peace. When we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives in ways that perhaps we have shunned in the past, Jesus comes and fills us and gives us a real sense of peace, peace with God. We cannot have peace with God, and that's what Jesus came to bring us. Peace with God. We cannot have that until we understand the ugliness of sin within our own selves. But that's hard to take. John chapter 3, verse 19 says that light, that is Jesus, has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. We don't want to give it up. We don't want to change. We don't want to let it go. We'd rather do things our way. We'd rather turn off the light than allow it to expose something in our hearts or in our lives that is contrary to God. And the message of the gospel is only getting more offensive because as a society, as a world, we are getting further away from God. And the further we go from God, the more offensive the message of the gospel will be. We see this in so many efforts to normalize sin today. I don't need to go into any details. I don't need to list anything. Lists are dangerous anyway, because once you start, where do you stop? But just to say that there are plenty of situations that are contrary to God's word. And it's only getting worse. And when God's word speaks about it, well, yeah, it is offensive. It seems to me we are living in the days that are described in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, 2 Timothy chapter 3. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Paul tells Timothy, have nothing to do with them. The gospel message will offend. It will hurt. But it needs to be there. Perhaps more than any other time in recent generations, we need to very lovingly be bearers of the truth of God's word. Not in a self-righteous manner, but in humility, deep humility, knowing our own failures, knowing our own need to be offended by the message of the gospel, and bringing light and hope to others. Imagine if someone has a serious illness, and there's lots around, aren't there? If left untreated, someone is going to die. It's just plain. And imagine the doctor coming to you and saying what you want to hear instead of what you need to hear. Imagine the doctor looking at your test results, and he knows that without intervention, it's going to lead to death. And he says to you, look, you're going to be fine. Don't worry about it. Many people have this condition. You don't need to do a thing. You'd say, that I wouldn't go to that doctor. That's not right. That wouldn't be acceptable. As intrusive as some medical procedures are, when you need it, you still submit to it because you know that's the only way you hope to get better. And in a similar way, and this is what the message is this morning, is the gospel in a similar way can be intrusive and offensive. It hurts. But it's the only way we can get better. And I'm not talking only about the big ticket items, you know, that you hear about a lot. The big things that we like to point out. I don't do that, and I'm not like that, and oh, how could they be like that? But in areas that we don't even get worked up about, that we should, within ourselves. Gossip, greed, bitterness, slander, envy, just a few examples. God wants to do a work in us. For those of us here in the church. And so I suggest this morning that perhaps it's time for us, the church, to be offended a little bit. Not by anyone being nasty, I'm not asking anyone to be nasty, but by the message of the gospel as it pertains to our own lives. We are not going to be reflecting the light of God until it fully exposes things in our own hearts and lives that are contrary to Him. It's only then that we will find real peace with God in relationship with Him. So I say to you, let's be offended. That might be the best thing that happens to us. We should be offended by the sin in our own lives. Let's be offended by the ways where we compromise God's word in our own lives. And let us be moved to a place of repentance. It's the only way to find peace. And this isn't just a one-time deal. God works in our lives. And as He works in our lives, we need the Holy Spirit to offend us again and again with areas that He reveals are contrary to God. We are so good at justifying whatever it is we want. I've said it before, I'll say it once again. If we think about something long enough and hard enough, we will find a way to justify it, no matter how contrary it is to God's Spirit. So we need the Holy Spirit to offend our hearts. It's the only way that we grow in grace. God continues to work in us what is pleasing to Him. And yes, there are times it will hurt. The message of the gospel will be offensive. And that's a necessity. That's no excuse for us to be offensive. But just to understand it, that's a reality. Many people will oppose the message of the gospel, and that's to be expected. We need to be careful that we ourselves don't oppose the work that God is wanting to do in our lives. And so I want to encourage you this morning. When the Holy Spirit says something to you that offends you, challenges you, or points out something that you'd rather not consider, be grateful. Be grateful, receive it. Don't shut him out. Don't sweep him under the rug. Open your heart. Think about it. Pray about it. Ask other godly people about it if you need to. And ask God what He'd have you do in response. It's the only way for us to actually get better. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning. And Lord, I come with a deep awareness of many times in situations where I have wanted to compromise, wanted to do things differently, and yes, even at times have failed. There are times, Lord, when your Spirit convicts, or as the words we've used this morning, offends us, and it's hard. But Lord, you do the work that you do within us because you love us, because you want the best for us, because you want to set us free from the grasp of sin that strangles us, that deprives us of life. And Lord, as we turn our hearts and our eyes to you, as we listen to you, as we respond to you, I pray, Father God, that you would speak words of life within ourselves. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.